What is a kick? It is true that
roller skating
provides an ecstatic experience. It gives you an incredibly pleasant experience. But this pleasure is not the pleasure that you get from a bottle of beer, or that you get from watching even a good television show. The pleasure you get from
roller skating
is being tuned in. You're turned on to your own nervous system. You're turned on to your own body. You're turned on to the incredible wisdom which lies inside every cell in your body. It's the ecstasy.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Hi. Welcome to Drop In Podcast.
Yeah, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening as always. I am Sam and I'm here with my good friend Sugu.
And this is a podcast hosted by Tough Skates. Do we still say that?
Sometimes.
One day we'll be like really professional, I think.
Maybe. I'm coming to you today from Biripi and Worimi country.
And I'm in Gadigal land of the Eora Nation.
How you been, Sugu? What's been happening?
Not much. Did I talk to you about it last time? I'm skating again a little bit after taking a 2-month break, trying to heal my knee. Slowly getting back into it. Feels good.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I think you mentioned it, but I think it was like you just started. I don't think you'd been kind of consistently skating yet. So good to hear that you haven't done anything that has stopped you, which is really nice.
I fell today pretty hard on my hip.
Ouch.
So I'm so sore.
At least it wasn't your knee though, so that's a good thing, I guess.
And it kind of weirdly distracts the pain from my knee.
That's a bonus. I skated today too, actually.
Oh, yeah? Any new tricks?
No, that's the problem, I think. I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I've kind of just come back to skating more regularly too. And I'm like relearning heaps of things that I used to be able to do, which is like a bittersweet feeling because you're like, yay, like this feels great. But you're like, also, I used to be able to do this thing really consistently. And now it's like exciting to do it once. So yeah. I don't know. Have you been having the same?
Yeah, similar for sure. And like, I do find joy in reconquering stuff. But yeah, there's always the feeling of like, I used to be able to do this. But yeah, today I was actually trying to learn how to Marchio. And the process of like learning a new trick when you don't even know how to like how to fall or bail out of it because you're like so new to the process. And I literally was like, if I miss, I'm really going to hurt myself. And then it happened and I was like, oh, I wish I'd just stayed doing my 3 tricks that I don't fall like this.
Is that how you hurt your hip? Is that what happened?
Yeah. Trying something new.
Yeah. It's hard because we want to push the boundaries and learn new things, but we're also getting old and we don't want to like fall and we've had injuries. So we don't want like another year long injury. And it can be tough, new tricks, especially when you've been around for a while. Cause like you already have your bag of tricks. So like to get a new trick, you have to really go outside your comfort zone, I think. And then, like, you pay the price for it every time.
Yeah, fully. Sometimes I feel like you get, like, an unexpected surprise when you try a new trick and you just get it and don't go through that, like, you just got to break the mental barrier of being scared, but then you don't even, like, have to fall lots or anything. But then there's some others that they just punish you. Yeah, I'm not sure if my body's can take it anymore. I gotta go to work tomorrow. I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna be limping around.
I was thinking that today too. I was like, at which point do you learn your last new trick? You won't know it when it happens. You won't know, but then you'll just never learn a new one again. And I'm like, maybe I don't have any more in me. I mean, I still have a lot of old tricks to relearn, but like maybe that's it.
But that maybe that's, you know, you get the joy of like learning it, but you don't go like, because you're relearning it, you don't go through the 4-foot process. So maybe we'll just do that.
Maybe that's okay.
You got to forget some tricks so then you can relearn them again. Remember to forget your tricks.
And if you never filmed it, you might legitimately forget. I'm pretty sure this has happened to me before where like you actually forget. And then you really trick yourself, yeah, which is a sweet bonus. But for all you young people out there,
yeah,
enjoy the new tricks because, yeah, you probably have lots of them and we'll just live vicariously through you by watching your videos on Instagram and that'll be fun for us.
We just had like such a full grandma rant.
I know. Oh, my God. So maybe we should talk to someone young. I'm sure that I think our guest today is young or at least skates like a very young person. So maybe they can make us feel a bit better.
All right. Who do we have today, Slambo?
So today we're chatting to Marette. I think this is how you say it, but honestly, I don't really know. So she will have to let us know when she tunes in. And she's a really stylish skater from the Netherlands, and I'm very excited to chat with her.
Me too. They've been in my radar for a while. Should we give them a call?
Hello.
I was struggling with my brand new microphone.
Oh, no problem. That's okay.
I just got it for this podcast.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Thank you for getting a microphone. I hope you have other uses for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll start singing. No, thank you so much for having me. Super excited.
Yeah, we're excited too. Did you want to start off by introducing yourself for the listeners?
Of course. My name is Mirette. My pronouns are she, her. I'm from the Netherlands. I live in Arnhem. It's close to the German border. Yeah, started skating in 2020, so COVID skater.
Ah, cool. I was wondering about that.
I hope that tag eventually changes. COVID skater sounds like sickness.
Yeah, well, we were in lockdown, and I think it was September 2020. I was working at a photography studio at the time, and because we couldn't have any clients, we were just closed, and I had no work. So I needed something to do and I wanted to go outside because the weather was still nice, I think. And a friend of mine got skates and it seemed really cool. She created an Instagram account just for her skating progress. And I thought it was so new to me. And this whole world was new to me. And I saw that there were more people doing that. And they were like talking to each other about tricks and sending videos and like being really nice about the skate process, and I just thought, okay, I want this as well. So I bought beach bunnies, Moxie beach bunnies, and I just destroyed them in the first few months, like totally destroyed them because I took them to the skate park pretty quick after I got them. First I started dancing, but then of course I was looking for tutorials and I saw people taking them to the skate park and it was totally new to me. It looked so cool, so fun. So my partner was starting skateboarding, so we just went to the skate park together.
Had you ever done any other wheeled sports before? Because you seem very comfortable on skates for someone who's been skating a pretty short amount of time. So was it brand new to you?
Not totally. I had like recreational inline skates, but just like shitty ones, when I was a kid, and I just cruised around a bit, but I never did like dance moves or stunts, or I've never been to the skate park before that. So that was new, but, and I also ice skated sometimes, so it wasn't totally new.
Were you a sporty person? Did you do other kinds of sports? Yeah. I always have to ask this. I'm like, please tell me the secret. Tell me there's a reason.
Yes, no, totally. I did a lot of dancing. Dancing was my main thing. And I started gymnastics, I think, at maybe like 4. So,
yeah, this is validation for me. It makes me feel a bit less bad.
No, no worries. It's all in my system. And I'm super hyper mobile as well. So I have to work out to not like fall apart. And I need to be strong and I need to move. And also for my mental health, I need it so much. So I'm really glad I got into skating, because I stopped dancing and I stopped doing like acrobatic stuff when I was getting a little bit older and, you know, doing studies and work. So I was going to the gym now and then, but now I'm like really back to what I used to love, like moving a lot.
It's so interesting, though, that you say that you come from a gymnastics background, because to me, when I watch you skate, you don't necessarily do the kinds of tricks that often people that come from gymnastics backgrounds do. I don't know if that's like, you know, whether you just chose to do it that way, but like, I know that you can do flips and stuff. I've seen you do them, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I'm explaining myself well, but you don't necessarily skate like I imagine a gymnast to skate.
No, I see what you mean. I think, yeah, I did all the like the handstands and the cartwheels and stuff. If that's what you mean, yeah. The gymnastic stuff, yeah. And I love it, but I'm trying. I'm trying to make it into something that is more like my own. So, for example, I would rather do an invert than a handstand, but I like a challenge. So I would take gymnastic stuff, but then. Translated to skate moves a bit more, like skateboarding tricks or inline skate tricks.
Your flow is amazing, though. Like, you, when I watch you skating, you're like, not many people can skate like that, I think. Like, people like floating around the space. Like, there's a lot of amazing skaters out there, but they're just like, skate this ledge.
Thank you.
Like, I don't know. It's a bit more like, I don't know, robotic or like forced or something. You're like, woo, just going around.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I think that's, for me, that's the most important part. I want to feel relaxed and I want to enjoy flowing around. And I also love to do tricks, of course, but for me, just flowing around is the most important part. And then I'll just see where I end up and what I end up doing in a flow, in a ball. So I think it has to do with my like my dance background as well, because I've always been watching myself in the mirror, like watching my own moves and also mirroring like the choreographer. So I think I can like translate.
So when you say that you have been used to watching yourself in a mirror, how does that work for skating? Do you have to like film yourself and watch it back, or do you just have a really good sense of like your body and how it moves? Like, how do you do that?
I definitely watch myself on video all the time. Yeah. I will always ask someone to just record me, even if it's something I'm trying to learn and just for the process. And I will always watch it back and always like see what can be done better. And then I feel like I can see really quickly what that is, that it isn't quite there yet. Yeah. So that helps. That definitely helps.
So interesting. I never do that. It sounds like a great idea, but I'm always like, no, I'll film it when I can do it.
I just film everything. And if I like something really well, then I will post it. But I don't really post a lot, because mostly I just think like, it's okay, but it's not there yet.
That's so cool. What's the word, Sam, that you always use?
Proprioception. It's like the awareness of where your body is in space.
But it also helps that my partner was like teaching parkour and stuff to kids. So he really knows how to like help with tricks and like hold me and also knows what I should do different. So we're really a good team in figuring out tricks. That helps.
But so you've only been skating for, say, 4 years, but I see recently that you've been dabbling a little bit in inline as well. Like, how did that kind of transition happen? Because I have to say, you're really good at that as well. So, like, how did you get into doing both? And, like, do you have a preference of one over the other? Or?
Yeah, I think it started at Blading Camp. I was at Blading Camp. Do you know what Blading Camp is?
Yeah,
it's camp in Malaga. Yeah, it's in Spain, and you can go there for like a week, and they have quads and inlines together mostly, and they will just take care of everything, bring you to the skate parks. It's amazing. And there, on I think on the last night, I whopped with an inline skater He got my quads and I got his inline skates at the roller disco. And I loved it so much because it's so fast. And so I could do like these new moves or do like, I don't know, it was just really different, but also really comfortable. And I felt really good in them. So I heard a lot of people talking there at Blading Camp about Winter Clash. I had no idea about Winter Clash, but it seemed really fun. So I got a ticket for Winter Clash after that.
Because Winter Clash is in the Netherlands. It's in the Netherlands, isn't it?
Yes. But I didn't know. And then I thought, okay, if I wanted to have the full experience of Winter Clash, maybe it's time for some inline skates. I think a month before Winter Clash started, and I just skated them almost every day. It was so cool. It kind of feels like skiing in a way, because of the longer wheelbase. You can just like do the toe and heel presses. I think I really like that because it makes jumping easier.
So you went to Winter Clash. Did you compete at Winter Clash?
No way. The level, it's so high. Yeah, I skated a lot, but not in a competition.
I don't think I know how it works. I thought it just was a competition. I didn't even know you could go and just skate. I had no idea.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's, of course, it is about the competition, but it's also not too like serious in a way that it's just a big gathering of people from all over the world. It's just one big family. And I think it helps that it's indoors. So you're all there together for a whole weekend. Everyone's super hyped. It's the event of the year. The vibe is like so amazing. But then you can skate the biggest part of the park for the competition, but there are still two really nice bowls, the foam pit, resi. There are some like kiddie places where like smaller things are. So you can definitely skate. Yeah. I skated a lot. Yeah. And also there were some quad skaters.
Yeah, I saw quad skaters. Yeah. Didn't Barbie go too? Barbie?
I was wondering if Barbie was going to compete on inlines. And I was like, whoa, what a plot twist.
She was there, yeah, but I didn't see her. Like, it was sad.
Yeah.
But I thought,
I saw her on the list. I remember.
She was on the list. So there was a little like buzz about it. Like, is Barbie going to compete on quads?
Yeah.
But no, she was. It would be really interesting.
That would have been pretty funny.
Yeah. So yeah, Winter Clash was amazing. But it ended up with me being in the hospital, though.
Oh, no. What happened?
Nothing bad. It was just, I fell. I was cruising the bowl and then practicing inverts, and I fell to flat, and I fell on my hands, but also on my lip, and then my tooth came all the way through my lip, so it pierced my lip.
Oh my goodness.
And then everyone was
having. You have a cool scar.
Yeah, kinda. So I just sneaked out, got a bike from like a random employee there, and bike to the hospital, and they glued it together.
What? By yourself?
Yeah, because everyone was just having a good time and I just didn't want to bother them. Like, that happened.
Oh my god. What the hell?
Were you bleeding a lot? Like, how can you do
that? It was okay. Yeah. No, it was not too bad. It didn't look too bad. It was just in hospital, they said it was a perfect cut.
Oh, well, that's good, at least.
Perfect cut.
Yeah.
And I guess at least you were in your own country. So I guess it's less intense to like
stressful,
have an experience like that if you know how it all works. So yeah.
But still, they were like, you're not from here. What are you doing here on Sunday? Like, but yeah, no, I know that park. So that really helped the stress. But no big injuries. I've been really lucky with that. Yeah. I know they will come.
No, maybe they won't come. To be honest, I've been like skating park for like 10 years and I've never had a bad park injury. I don't even think the bad injuries I've had that have affected my skating have necessarily been because of skating. It's just been like things that have happened. So you might be okay, especially if you're not a sandy person, then you might be fine.
Yeah, I hope so.
So what do you like better, quads or blades?
Well, quads will always like be my first love. Honestly, for it depends. For bowls, I think quads are like way more fun. Also for ramps, I think. But ledges might be a little easier on inlines because you can jump a little higher, go a little faster. Like locking in is a bit easier, I feel like. Yeah, it just depends on the day. You know, I would like to do every... I skate random setups. I skate every brand. I don't really mind. I love everything. So.
Yeah.
You know.
And so you're going to be competing in Milano Quad Fest at the end of this year. Do you like competing?
I never liked it. I never was into competing, like never. But now with skating, it's different. I just, it's so exciting. It's so fun. It's just, I mean, I love the buzz around it, the energy during the competition. It is terrifying, but I love a challenge. So I just like to put myself in that mindset and just see what I can do and have fun. There are so many amazing skaters coming, and just skating along with them is already like a goal. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Also, I have nothing to lose. I mean, if I end up like being last, it's fine. I don't mind. I mean, I'm going to do my best and I'm going to prepare a bit, but.
Have you competed much in other competitions?
Not much, but there are some local competitions I attended and I did like decent. The first like big one was the Love Bowl in Barcelona. I didn't do good because I just came straight from Leiding Camp and I didn't sleep for a whole week. I was just experiencing like terrible sleep problems. So I was a mess. I don't really remember that day.
Can I ask as well, that bowl looks hard to skate.
It is really hard. It is fun, but it's hard to make lines. It's hard to come out of the deep end and contain speed. Yeah, so it's challenging. But it was so cool to see everyone in their own styles and to meet everyone. So I was so excited. I couldn't even think of a line that I wanted to do myself.
Fair enough. I find competing very, very scary.
Not to give anything away, because I'm sure other people who are coming might listen to this, but are you preparing to compete in any particular way? Like, how are you going to go about your preparation?
I think I'm going to watch a lot of, because I saw that there isn't a lot of content of the skate park, but there are videos of skateboard contests and stuff like that. So I will watch them over and over and just have a feeling of the park. Also see how they use the park. Maybe think of some creative ways to use the park. I really like that. And then I think I'll just work on a few tricks that are like, that I'm really can be proud of. Maybe some unique tricks. Like, and I'm not giving anything away.
Yeah, don't give anything away. You're going to kill it. I'd be scared if I was a competitor. And listen to this, I'd be like, oh, shit.
No, just chill.
There will be a video coming that showcases the park a little bit better too, by the way. Irene has been recently and done like a 3-minute walk around of all of the sections. So that will be coming at least. Yeah, you know, at least in the next couple of weeks. But I like your idea of watching how skateboarders use the park because that sounds really clever as well. So, yeah, I think that sounds like a good plan for sure.
It's always different if you show up there, you know. It's either bigger or smaller or like more slippy or like, but it helps. Sure. It helps.
And have you ever been to Milan before?
No. No, I've been to Italy, but I don't think I've been to Milan. No. We're planning on going with a little group from the Netherlands, maybe drive there. It's not too far. And just stay in a house together. Yeah. Make a little trip. Maybe film some stuff.
Nice.
How's the skate scene in the Netherlands?
Yeah, it's small. I mean, it's a super small country. But everything is really connected. So also the skate scenes are really connected. So I feel like every city has a few skaters and they organize meetups. But the meetups will be like a national thing because it's so small. So we'll go to Amsterdam or Rotterdam.
You guys have an amazing train.
Yes. Yeah.
Like you can just go from one city to the other.
Oh yeah, it saves me because I don't drive a car. I have my license, but I don't drive. So I use trains every day to go to skate parks. Yeah, that it's really amazing because I live on like one side of the country, and if I want to go to the other side, to Amsterdam, it's just like 1 hour.
Whoa, that is small. I had no idea.
That just blew Sam's mind. Whoa. You can't get through Sydney in 1 hour.
I know, right?
Do you live, like, not that it really matters because you can get everywhere really fast, but do you live close to Mayo, like from Space Skate?
Yeah, she lives near Eindhoven, where Winterclash is, where the Area 51 park is. That is, I think, 1.5 hours per train. Okay, so it's pretty close. Yeah. Mayo is amazing.
So who do you skate with when, like, are there other roller skaters in your local skate park?
There are, yeah. When I started, there were way more than there are now. I think they all came from Derby and kind of went back to Derby now that it's like opened again, I guess.
Yeah.
So I mainly skate
with... It's sold out a bit.
Yeah. I mainly skate with skateboarders and inline skaters. And so the city where I live in, we don't really have a big skate park. So I go to another city that has an indoor skate park, and there we meet up like on... We have the Monday evening, I go with skateboarders, and then mostly Tuesday, Thursday, I go with the inline skaters. They have the late nights. So that's really cool. Yeah, and there are some roller skaters as well, but not like every day.
You get to skate with both.
yeah, I do. And then also I teach there. So I'm trying to get kids into roller skating.
So you're coaching as well?
Yeah, and they started sort of recently with like hiring out the skates. So we have a lot of skates and kids will have their birthday parties at our skate park. And they will be in a group of like 10 kids. It's really, yeah, it's a chaos, but it's also so fun. I love it. I never know what to expect. Once there were like 18 people in one class.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we have to navigate through, like, because it's not closed for the public. So there are skateboarders, BMX riders, scooter kids. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So what do you do when you aren't roller skating? Like, what's your life like outside of skating?
Well, today's a bit of a weird day because it's my last day at work, the job I have currently. So from now on, I won't be doing anything, I guess. I don't have a new job yet, but that will work out. So now I work at an art school. I do communications there. Yeah. So today's my last day. We'll have drinks later today. And I'll say goodbye. But yeah, so work, of course. I need to work to be able to travel and skate. And unfortunately, that's part of life.
Did you study art or something like that? Or are you just an arty person?
I've studied like communications, media design. I wanted to go to art school, but then I was like really young, so I decided to do something more creative, but more like business oriented, I guess.
Yeah, good real job kind of. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But I love the art school environment. Yeah, so I do communications now. So everything from like writing, website stuff, newsletters, photography. Yeah, just do it all. Love it all.
You do pretty cool photos too.
Thanks. Yeah, I love that.
Because, yeah, is it in the SB Bearings, Rockstar Bearings video? There's some photography that you've mm-hmm. done, like cut throughout the video.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really loved that. That was really cool.
Thanks. Yeah, that trip was really cool. But it was my first time like street skating. So I was so scared. I just wanted to take photos of everyone and not like skate myself.
Yeah, sounds like me.
But I ended up skating. Yeah, Moco introduced me to street skating, and I'm really thankful for that. I really love it.
So you've grown to love it now.
Yes, it's so different. It's not comparable to ramp skating or park skating. No, it's a whole different world. Yeah,
fully.
But
totally is.
It's really rewarding. Really nice to see to like look at places in a different way.
Do you have any particular goals or aspirations within skating now that you've started street skating too? Is there anything that you really want to do in skating?
For this year, I want to finish my first video project. I'm working together with my partner, who is a filmmaker, film teacher. So it just made total sense to create something together, you know. So we're working on that. And really the starting point for that was also the Rockstar Bearings trip, where we went to Berlin. And because that was really like street skating focused, I felt like there were so many cool spots that weren't street spots that I really liked. I thought I have to come back and, you know, film for myself, like film the balls, film the ramps, but also street spots. Yeah. So that was like an idea I had. And then I think the real inspiration for the video was like a video I saw together with my partner. It was a video by Lizzie Armanto. Was called Onward, and it is this video where she only skates ramps, and it's like super dynamic, colorful, flowy. And that was like when I thought, okay, this is what I like. I want to make something with that feeling, you know.
Yes, I know everyone's like street edits, blah blah blah, like they're cool. But I think we need also really cool ramp video.
Yeah, but it's not going to be only balls and ramps. It's going to be everything. But I've been to quite some nice DIY spots that have some transition, but also street spots are on my list. Yeah, I'll see where it takes us. But yeah, we've been filming and we just started. That's the most important part. We started.
I think that it's so cool because there has gone this like full cycle in roller skating, I think, where it was like all street and now like I think it's a natural question if some transition. So no pressure, but will you have it ready to premiere at the video night at Quadfest maybe?
That will be amazing.
No pressure, but...
I mean,
but there's some pressure there in that statement.
Gives you a deadline.
Oh, I definitely need a deadline. It's the worst. It might sound like great to not have a client and a deadline and a budget, but it's so hard.
Well, I mean, I think it's always fun to premiere a video in an environment like that. I remember that at Blading, like the energy of 100%. Like a video night is so great and amazing. So, you know, like just put it out there. See what happens.
Yeah, I would love that. I mean, I can send you some things. You can see if it's like good enough. Mm.
Shut up. Good enough.
I have no doubt it'll be good enough. I'm sure of it. But it's more that I know how fast time goes. Like in a project like this, time can go really quickly and you might have like every best intention to have it ready. And then if you're not happy with it, you know, that's kind of like the hard part is having it in a state that you're like ready to share it. So we'll see what happens. But we'd love to.
Especially because it seems like you have such a clear vision.
Yes, I'll do my best.
Damn, I'm excited.
We're coming towards the end of the episode and we always end the episode with a question from our previous guest. And our previous guest was Shove. And I think because Shove got a question about dinosaurs, Shove like continued on a similar train and has asked you if you could be reincarnated as any animal, what would it be and why?
Oh, you know, this is really funny because I made a note here. I wanted to ask you something about an animal because I have a friend who is now in Australia. I asked her, like, did you see any cool animals there recently? And she said she saw an echidna. And I just wanted to ask you, have you ever seen one? It is so cute. Oh my God. Because they're really common there, right?
Not like really common. I've seen them in the wild like twice.
Yeah. You see them if you like go camping maybe.
It's a mammal that lays eggs. So wonderful. It's like a little hedgehog with a cute snout. Yeah. So yeah, that I would love to reincarnate.
As an echidna.
You're going to come back as an echidna.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's so funny.
She's going to Australia. Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Then I have to. That's the only way, I think.
We also do the lightning round at the end of the episode with the 10 questions. And I think, Sam, it is your turn to do them.
That is true. So first one, slide or grind?
Grind.
Favorite time of day?
Evening, golden hour.
Where is the place you really want to skate?
Mexico or maybe Puerto Rico. And of course, Australia. Australia, of course.
Everyone feels like they have to say Australia, I swear to God.
Everyone wants it. I mean, it's true. It's just so expensive.
Yeah, it's really far. Do you prefer to use the term backside or topside for quad tricks?
I know that I use topside, but it might have to be backside. I don't know.
I can relate to that answer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Figuring out.
Okay, a bit of both. Fair enough. What is the best thing about roller skating?
The people. Yeah, friendships, relationships. Yeah, the international community.
What is the worst thing about roller skating?
The worst? Well, the setup never feels like you have it all put together perfectly. There's always something that you need to adjust, always something missing or something broken. But it's also fun. But I feel like inline skating doesn't have that. It's just one solid thing and you never have to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. The best late night snack.
Oh, I always eat a second time after skating. So I guess that's my late night snack. Just have like full dinner or like a large bowl of yogurt. And I just need a lot of food. So it's not a snack. It's just a meal, like a late night meal.
A full second dinner is your answer.
A large bowl of yogurt is not dinner, though. That's not dinner.
Okay. Well, maybe some leftovers. True.
How would you describe your skate style in one word?
I hope flowy. Yeah, I hope it's flowy.
A skate edit you watch to get excited?
So there's so many. I also watch a lot of skateboarding and inline parts. But for roller skating, I love the recent edit of Elise Koch. It was so good, the whole vibe, the music, the graphics. I love it. It was really different than what was out there. And I watch it over and over.
Another skater that's going to be at Quadfest. Very exciting. I'm super excited to see them skate as well. I really love that edit too. Well, we've come to the final question, and it's the year 2050, and your future skate self has learned how to time travel. What have they come back to tell you?
I hope I can say, please don't worry about getting old. You're still skating when I'm like, I hope to skate when I'm 80. Yeah, just continue. Yeah, don't worry about like being too old, what people say.
That would be something great.
Whatever. Yeah. Because I'm stressed out. Because I'm not old, but I feel old. And I hate that because whatever.
How old are
but
you?
It's their time pressure, you know?
Do you mind if I ask?
28. I just wish I started like 10 years ago.
You just wait 2 years.
No, you know what? I think your future self is going to be like, don't worry about it. We've invented like robot joints now and you can skate forever with these like AI robot joints and it's fine. So
please, yes.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with us. It's been really nice getting to know you and I look forward to meeting you in person in a few months' time.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. It was really fun. Really looking forward to Milan and really looking forward to see what Shift is doing in the future. I really love everything you do.
Thank you. Likewise.
Well, I can't wait to see your edit.
I'll hope to finish it before September.
So, yeah, we'll be patiently waiting. Thanks for chatting.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Bye.
See you.
Bye.
Drop In Podcast is a Chuff Skates production hosted by Sugu Valbuena Sanchez and me, Samantha Trahan. This podcast is recorded and edited on Aboriginal land. Always was, always will be. The opening track features samples from Dr. Timothy Leary's 1967 song, Turn On, Tune In, Drop Out, and a 1966 interview between Merv Griffin and Dr. Leary.
Thank you to our guests for dropping in to talk about all things roller skating, and to you for listening.
If you'd like to be notified of new episodes, follow @ChuffSkates on Instagram and subscribe to Drop In Podcast on Spotify.